This is Jay Sekulow. We're going to talk about judges, the Supreme Court, and our guest, Senator Jeff Sessions, on the Judiciary Committee.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about
and now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I will fight for the right to live in freedom. Yeah.
Oh. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, a little bit later in the broadcast, Senator Jeff Sessions going to join us a discussion on federal judges. And look, as many of you know, and if you're just joining us, the Supreme Court of the United States granting review in our major case, huge, huge ramifications, not only for Ten Commandment displays, but things like the Statue of Liberty. Can you imagine having the Statue of Liberty next to the Statue of Tyranny? Could you imagine having a civil rights monument next to a monument from the Ku Klux Klan? Well, that's what this group is trying to do. And, of course, they want to post their seven aphorisms and mandate that the government post those next to the Ten Commandments. I did a special broadcast, by the way, for TV that's going to air probably in about a week. We shot it in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, inside the court where I'm going to be arguing this case in November, there's actually depictions of Moses holding the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Could you imagine a requirement now that next to Moses, the government, as its speech, has to put up a monument to the God of Summum, which is the Summum religion, and you have to post the seven aphorisms next to the Ten Commandments? This is what's happening, and this is like I said, the case here is huge, and the ramifications of this are very, very significant. I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about religious liberty issues. We've got a case or a story that we're looking at right now. Can you imagine In God We Trust in a school being deemed to be so offensive that they're going to paint over it? That's what's happened. Could you imagine the Ten Commandments having to be posted next to these other monuments? That's what's going on. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 for your calls.
A lot of calls. 1-800-684-3110. An interesting story here, the In God We Trust story out of Texas. One complaint by one parent. We don't have much information on who that complaint came from or how long it took, but literally the next day when students got back to school, In God We Trust was taken off the gymnasium wall, was painted over, and now the school officials decided after community reaction in Texas that they will put In God We Trust back up. Texas law says clearly you can put In God We Trust in cafeterias and places in the school, classrooms, the national motto, anywhere really the school pleases, the In God We Trust motto, we can say it. But just one complaint, the school painted over. That's the kind of reaction. That's how scared these schools are. And I mean, I don't think this school probably had a bad motive. They're scared that they're going to get sued immediately when one person complains that they actually go in the middle of the night and paint over In God We Trust in the gymnasium.
I mean, could you imagine being a school administrator today with these threats of these lawsuits? I mean, it's unbelievable what they're having to deal with. Now, as I said, we've got, I think, the most significant case involving First Amendment issues at the Supreme Court probably in two decades on the issue of monuments and what it means when the government wants to convey a particular message. Could you imagine the government wanting to convey a message that's pro-abstinence, but now the government being required to say, well, we're pro-abstinence, but now we're going to have to show pro-birth control messages? Or the government says, we want to post a position in favor of life. Now we have to have a position posted by the government in favor of abortion. That's what's at stake in this case. Now, we've put together a very special committee. And folks, you need to have this. We're giving you, as part of this committee, this is the special Supreme Court committee. We've never done this before. We are going to send you an actual brief that we filed with the Supreme Court of the United States on this case. You're going to actually get the same bound copies that we filed to the Supreme Court of the United States that the justices read. You're going to be reading as well. You're going to get those. So it's really phenomenal what we're doing here. And this committee is going to do other things as well. As other briefs are filed, you will get those. Everybody that's listening to us needs these briefs in their library. This is history in the making, and we like distributing information like this so that you can have it. But again, this is literally history in the making. We are going to also, and this is something that we are very encouraged about, we're going to do updates. We're going to do teleconference calls where you'll be able to ask me questions about the case. We're going to give you special video presentations. Here's the number to call to get on the committee, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
It's a case that's likely to change the legal landscape in America, and the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of this landmark legal battle. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a critical First Amendment case, a challenge to the display of the Ten Commandments. The ACLJ must convince the Supreme Court to reject a lower court ruling that would force cities and states to make a troubling choice: remove existing displays or permit any group to display any monument in public places.
Imagine the city of New York required to put up a statue of tyranny to counter the Statue of Liberty.
Now you can stand with the ACLJ by joining the ACLJ's Special Supreme Court Committee, where you get special access as this case unfolds. You'll receive copies of the legal briefs and firsthand reports from Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow as the ACLJ prepares arguments for the Supreme Court. Call now. Add your name to the committee. 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online at aclj.org. It happens every day. People log on to the website at the American Center for Law and Justice, aclj.org, for critical resource information and for assistance. People like Sarah Sloan from Arizona, who turned to aclj.org for legal help after receiving a failing grade on a college journalism project because the school said her Christian faith played too great a role in her writing.
It was a religious section, and it was a feature story on Kirk Cameron. It was a really good interview, and I wrote the story, and time came with the jurors, and the jurors failed me because they thought it was biased.
Listen, the end result was we wanted to make sure you got that certificate, and you did. Literally a click away, and Sarah Sloan's situation was resolved through our lawyers, our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We are glad and thrilled that this was resolved successfully.
The ACLJ stands ready to help you to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Check out the ACLJ online, aclj.org. That's aclj.org, a website that makes a difference.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Hi, welcome back to the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-31. By the way, that's 1-800-684-3110. Jeff Sessions, Senator from Alabama on the Judiciary Committee, is going to be on our program during the last segment of the broadcast. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about the judiciary. We'll talk about the Supreme Court. Here's a question we're asking you, though, and it's just a discussion. Why the Ten Commandments under attack? Why is it that it's not just the Ten Commandments? Why in God we trust? What does this mean? How does this play out? Those are the questions we're taking. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. Let's go right to the phones.
Tammy's calling from Oregon on line one. Tammy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My question is, what in the world, I mean, are people so bored that they can't just leave the Ten Commandments alone? I mean, it's been there for years. I mean, since our, I mean.
Well, these monuments have been there, by the way, for 50 years in Pleasant Grove and in Duchesne's, about 40 years, actually. They were put up in the 50s and 60s. Look, here's the situation. This is what some of them says, but you got to realize what's at stake. They're saying, look, if the government makes a decision to convey a particular message, here are the Ten Commandments, as well as other messages they've got in their park. They're demanding that you convey their message as well, some of them's message, which is the seven aphorisms. But it applies. Could you imagine? Folks, I'm going to tape programs in front of the Statue of Liberty. Could you imagine at Statue of Liberty Park in New York having the Statue of Liberty and the government now being mandated to put up a statue of tyranny? That's exactly what would be at stake here. So the ramifications of this case even go way beyond Ten Commandment displays.
Well, it goes to, we talked about Fred Phelps with that group with Westboro Baptist Church, who are imagining a monument that said abortion is my constitutional right put forward by Planned Parenthood. Do they have to accept that monument? Is they forced to accept that? All of these viewpoints, does a community have to accept every single monument or decide we'll have completely blank parks? We'll just have nothing by the courthouse, nothing by the city council building, nothing by the community center, no war memorials, no veterans memorials, no Boy Scouts memorials, no Girl Scouts memorials, because if you do take those, you have to take a Planned Parenthood memorial to abortion.
Yeah, or Fred Phelps' hateful messages aimed at our soldiers or aimed at people that he disagrees with, and that would be the requirement. So the ramification of this is very, very significant.
And do the people in Berkeley, does the city council of Berkeley want to be forced to accept pro war memorials? Do they want to take memorials honoring those who serve in Iraq? Do they want to take a memorial honoring the Marines? I mean, we've heard. Do you going to force these cities who disagree strongly with different positions to take all these monuments or decide to keep their parks absolutely clear of anything?
Here's what I want you to do, folks. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast today, you need to become part of the special committee on the Supreme Court. But more important than the committee, you need to get this brief. We're giving it to you absolutely free. Now, I'm holding it in my hand. This is the actual brief that we filed with the Supreme Court of the United States. You're going to have this for your library, folks, including the appendixes. It's really a historic read. Children, grandchildren, you yourself need to have this. It's a great resource. It's a brief. It's the Pleasant Grove versus Summum. You're going to get the petition for certiorari. As other briefs are filed, you will get those. You'll get on our special conference calls. It's going to really be great. Call our toll-free number. Jordan's going to give you that number. Join this committee. Get this brief right now. We want to make sure you get it in your hands.
877-989-2255. Write that number down. This is how you join the special committee for the Supreme Court. 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. Matthew's calling from New York on line 4. Matthew, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Matthew.
How you doing? Hello?
You're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, my comment was simple. These monuments that you're talking about, these people want counter monuments to?
Yes.
They were all donated.
Correct.
Like the Statue of Liberty. That was donated by the people of France.
Right.
The money that it took to erect that statue was donated by the people of New York and New York City.
Right.
Why wouldn't they be held to the same standard? If they want their own
They're saying they'll donate it. I mean, that's their plan is they'll donate it. But the question is this. Look at it from the fundamental. You mentioned the Statue of Liberty. And by the way, we're going to be doing a lot of research on the Statue of Liberty. These Ten Commandment monuments were donated to the city. Some wanted them. Some did not accept them. But most cities did. This was a message the cities wanted to convey. But could you imagine, Matthew, in New York, that right next to the Statue of Liberty, a constitutional mandate that the city post a Statue of Tyranny that's also 151 feet tall? I mean, that's basically what you're arguing. Or as Jordan said, could you imagine that if a city decides that they want to give an honor or a monument to somebody in their community that represented a pro-life cause to the betterment of the city, could you imagine them being required to put in a pro-abortion or Planned Parenthood monument or a civil rights monument, and you have to have the Ku Klux Klan monument next to it? That's what's at stake in these cases, and that's the ramifications of what this means.
It is, folks. That is why we want you to get involved with this special committee. Get your copy of the brief. We want you to be updated. We want you to know what's happening as this case progresses through the court and through this time period as we prepare here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Call right now. Join this committee. It is important, folks. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
We mentioned the school district in Texas that had "In God We Trust" on the wall of their school. That's our national motto. Could you imagine someone coming in, this is exactly what could happen, and say, "You're allowing In God We Trust posted, therefore we want to post another message, In Satan We Trust, In the Devil We Trust." And I mean, you could come up with all kinds of extremes, but that's what's at stake in this case. So it's, as I said, it's well beyond the Ten Commandments. Could you imagine In God We Trust posted, and then you have to come back and post something that is not only dishonoring to God, but that is counter to that message? Could you imagine In God We Trust next to In Satan We Trust? I mean, it sounds extreme, folks. But that's what the law would be if the 10th Circuit decision isn't overturned.
That's right, folks. And it works the other way, too. Are we going to force the people in a liberal town to take every monument that a conservative wants? You're going to force Berkeley, California, that city council, to put up pro-war monuments because they've got an anti-war monument? Or should the people in the community decide, their elected officials, the city councils, people that manage the city, decide what monuments to accept and what not to?
Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about In God We Trust and mandating being posted next to it the opposite message? 1-800-684-3110.
Bill's calling from Florida on line 5. Bill, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A little bit off the subject, but
it's okay.
The situation. In Hillsborough County, we have, well, actually in the state of Florida, we have a rule about uniforms. And this uniform rule was adjusted this year to accommodate some Muslim girls that wanted to compete in track and field.
Okay.
Well, that's one situation. I am not allowed to call for a student-led prayer on the infield before a track meet.
You as a coach, yeah, or not? That's correct.
I am. Well, I'm a coach, but I also act as an official.
Yeah, you're deemed to be a state actor, so you can't do that. Students, by the way, can, though. The students can what they mean by student-led and student-initiated is exactly that. The students can initiate a prayer. The students can initiate a time of worship on their own, on their initiative. There's no problem whatsoever in doing that. But, Bill, it has to come from the students. It can't be led by the teachers.
I was told that a student would not be allowed to announce that either.
That no, that's incorrect. What did that come from the school department saying or a school official saying that?
That came from the athletic department of the county that I live in. That I could not have a student come up and announce it over the PA system that we are going to have a student-led prayer. I've got a number of strong Christians on my team.
Sure.
And they said, no, you can't do that.
Did they let other groups do announcements?
Well, when I was announcing, I had to announce a promo for an ice cream company that was there selling their ice cream.
Yeah, well, then there should be no problem whatsoever. So here's what we do. You hang on the line. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We're going to get you some help on this right away and see if we can get these students have the right to engage in this without any fear of reprisal.
We got an interesting question coming in from radio at aclj.org. You can email us in a question or comment that we'll get to on air. Rain from California, she asked, she said her 7th grade teachers. She's in the class, the 7th grader. She's in an evolution class. The teacher is teaching his fact. And the teacher told her 7th grade daughter that she believes what her parents teach her because she said that she believed in God. He told her, this teacher told a 7th grader in front of the class that believing in God is like believing in the Tooth Fairy and in Santa Claus, and asked her in front of her 7th grade colleagues, quote, do you still believe in Santa? The entire class laughed. What should we do? This question came in from Rain in California.
We're going to get working on that immediately. In fact, it's already in process. And the fact of the matter is, and let me say this, this is the kind of nasty discrimination. And this is where I'm concerned, folks. The idea that a student would be embarrassed like this because of a teacher being inappropriate in their comment is absolutely ridiculous. It's wrong. And lawyers with the American Center for Law and Justice are getting involved in this case, literally, as we speak. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break, by the way. Senator Jeff Sessions will be joining us. But, you know, we get these email questions, and when they come in, they're assigned to our lawyers. Jordan's going to quickly walk you through. This, folks, is important. If you want to communicate with us while we're on radio or when we're off, there's a way to do it.
Yeah, we've got easy ways to do so. You just go to aclj.org. On the left-hand side, you'll see Contact the ACLJ, and there's multiple ways to contact us online depending on what you need. If you need legal help, you can contact us there. If you want to have a question for radio, you contact us there. So aclj.org. And we just had another one come in from a Seventh-day Adventist who said, I don't want to work on Saturdays. I work for the post office. They're saying they'll fire me if I don't work on Saturday, which is my Sabbath day.
And they have the right to, she's supposed to be accommodated in her sincerely held religious beliefs. That'll be an easy one to get resolved. We'll get on that right away. Folks, we're out of running time here, getting ready for a break. We'll be joined by Jeff Sessions when we come back. Let me encourage you to get this brief. This is history, folks. You want this in your library. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. We're going to give you the actual brief, a bound copy of the same brief we filed with the Supreme Court of the United States for your library. Not many people have these. This will be history. 877-989-2255. You can also, and it's for free, join our committee, our special committee on the Supreme Court. We've got a Ten Commandments pin that's been commissioned for this, so you can call for that. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Get this brief. Very, very important. Your calls when we come back.
It's a trip of a lifetime, a life-changing trip to Israel. Plans are underway right now for a special trip to the Holy Land organized by the American Center for Law and Justice. Mark your calendar, June 17th through the 27th.
It's going to be something that no one will ever forget.
It's a great country, which really have a great biblical view.
Join ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow for this unique trip. It's a 10-day journey you won't want to miss.
You're going to see the biblical sites. You're going to go to the border of Lebanon. We'll meet with the Israeli Defense Forces military leaders, educational, academic leaders. You're going to see a tremendous insight as to what's going on in the Middle East.
Stand with Israel by standing in Israel, June 17th through the 27th. Join ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow for this unique trip to the Holy Land. Call now, 1-800-662-5406. That's 1-800-662-5406. Or online at aclj.org.
No one coming back from this trip is going to be the same.
It's a case that's likely to change the legal landscape in America. And the American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of this landmark legal battle. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a critical First Amendment case, a challenge to the display of the Ten Commandments. The ACLJ must convince the Supreme Court to reject a lower court ruling that would force cities and states to make a troubling choice, remove existing displays, or permit any group to display any monument in public places.
Imagine the city of New York required to put up a statue of tyranny to counter the Statue of Liberty.
Now you can stand with the ACLJ by joining the ACLJ's Special Supreme Court Committee, where you get special access as this case unfolds. You'll receive copies of the legal briefs and firsthand reports from Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow as the ACLJ prepares arguments for the Supreme Court. Call now. Add your name to the committee. 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Our phone lines are jammed at 800-684-3110. That's in part because we've got a great guest, and that is Senator Jeff Sessions, of course, a member of the Judiciary Committee, a senator from the great state of Alabama, a good friend of ours and someone that's been a champion, not just for the great folks of Alabama, but for all of us that are concerned about the direction the country's going and concerned about the courts and judges. And Senator, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jay. It's great to be with you.
Let's talk about this is an issue we've been following very closely, and that is the whole judicial confirmation battle. A lot of us are nervous. You got circuit courts like the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal that literally are hanging in the balance here. How do things look for confirmation and the battles ahead? And I know we're under a pretty – we had Senator Graham on last week. He thinks we're under a pretty tight time frame.
Well, there's no doubt that the Democratic majority in the Senate has just blocked confirmations. We haven't had a single circuit or even a district court judge confirmed. We've only had one hearing since September, last September, and so this is just not acceptable. And it's going to continue until, I regret to say, in my opinion, they're going to continue as long as they can get away with it. And there are two things that really would enable us to begin to move judges. One is that the Republicans in the Senate just have to stand up and say, we cannot accept a failure to confirm a substantial number of these judges before this year is over, and we will block other agenda items that the Democrats want until that occurs. And secondly, the American people do need to have their voice heard, Jay. It is generally heard by the Congress. It takes a while sometimes. And as long as the majority party can get away with not confirming anybody and they pay no political price for it, they'll continue to do so. So thank you for the opportunity to be on your program to share with your listeners the really unprecedented difficulties we're having.
We have people listening literally from all 50 states and literally over a million listeners a day on the broadcast. We're getting a lot of calls coming in, Senator, and I want to take a couple of them because these are people that are very concerned about the judicial nomination issue. So let's get a call, and we'll get Senator Sessions' comments on it.
Leon's calling from Illinois on line 3. Leon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Leon. You're on with us and with Senator Sessions. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a comment or a question. I wrote a letter to my Senator Dick Durbin, who said that 90% of the judicial nominations have been approved, and also that the president needs to seek advice from the Senate. What does that all mean?
Well, he's talking about advice and consent, but, you know, Senator Sessions, they keep throwing around this figure, Dick Durbin and others, that there's been this 90% approval rate. But when you look at the numbers comparing President Bush's term here to President Clinton previously, we're not even close to the number we need to be at.
That is correct. And we're just in a big slowdown this year. I mean, there's not been a single confirmation. And the president does consult with the home state senators on these nominations more than any president before his time, I believe. And that, but he cannot and should not, under the Constitution, allow, let's say, a Democrat that believes in a activist judiciary to totally dictate who he appoints to the bench. I mean, he's committed, he ran, he got elected on a platform that promised that he would appoint neutral umpires, judges who would not have agendas but would be faithful to the law and not allow their personal political instincts or predilections to influence how they rule on a matter of law. So I think he's got to continue to proceed, and sometimes we'll just have to have a fight over it, because that defines what kind of judges the Democratic liberals want and what kind of President Bush is trying to nominate. And maybe it helps people decide who to vote for when elections arrive.
Well, I mentioned this the other day. And, you know, when the Supreme Court on Monday granted review in one of our cases that was pending at the Supreme Court. We actually have two there. One they granted review. The other we asked them to hold, and they did. So basically two cases at the Supreme Court. They'll be arguing in November. And as I said to our audience and our members from around the country, look, who's sitting on the bench really matters. And it seems to me, in looking at some of this, Senator Sessions, that while some district court nominees are getting through from time to time, the appellate nominees is where the roadblock really seems to be right now. Is that a
doubt about it? Early on, a number of district judges have been confirmed, but the slowdown has been noticeable, particularly on the Court of Appeals judges, which are one step below the Supreme Court, as you know, Jay, and have quite a bit of influence over the district court judges in stating the law of the circuits. So they're really important. And we've had, again, but not a single confirmation this year. So if we don't do something, we'll end up with having virtually no confirmations this entire year. And that's just not acceptable under any historical comparison.
I hope everybody heard what Senator Sessions has said. We are right now running the risk of having no confirmation this entire year, which would be historically unprecedented. Senator Sessions, I know you've got a lot to do and a lot to get back to. Last question. How important is it for the American people to be doing what a number of our callers have done, and that is contacting their senators and asking for these hearings and these up or down votes?
I think it's very important, and sometimes it has to determine. I got to tell you, senators, I think our Democratic friends on the question of judges tend to push this issue as far as they can until the American people get riled up, and then they back off a bit. And so that's just the way it's been since I've been here in almost 12 years. And I think we do need the American people to understand that this is an unprecedented slowdown. We have we have one-third vacancy on the Fourth Circuit, one-third of the 15 judges, five vacancies. We've got two that have been pending quite a long time. We need to move forward with these judges. They can't just sit and block every vacancy.
We've heard from literally over 100,000 people in the last month on this issue, and they're contacting their senators. And Senator Sessions, we appreciate you taking time and being with us, and appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, member of the Judiciary Committee. Folks, look, the judges matter. We find that out when we go to the Supreme Court of the United States. We know it matters there. It matters in these Court of Appeals. Now, we've got a couple minutes left. Jordan, let's try to grab a few phone calls here.
Karen's calling from New York on line two. Karen, welcome to JCCO Live.
Hey, Karen.
Hi there.
Hey.
I'm just calling to say that, yes, the motto, "In God We Trust," I definitely believe we should fight to maintain that. And what's interesting to me is that I believe the Bible speaks of people having many types of gods in their life. So, you know, whatever God there is the God they may trust.
But here you've got, and here's the national motto. I mean, I think, of course, I think the Bible speaks to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Messiah being Jesus. But the fact of the matter is, our national motto is "In God We Trust." And if this Supreme Court case that we have goes the other way, if we were to lose, that means that someone could come in and demand that in God We Trust, we put some other message that you would find abhorrent. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. The government can convey a particular message. It can be pro-abstinence. It doesn't have to be pro-Planned Parenthood. That's the kind of situation we're talking about.
Let's try to grab another call. Bob from New Hampshire on line six. Bob, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, how are you, Jay?
Great.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Quickie, hypothetical. If you, Jay, had the total authority, okay, to summarize a decision that would represent 100% best of the opinion that you would find appropriate, what would you say the decision would be?
Well, I'd certainly start with somewhere, since we lost the case in the 10th Circuit and the court divided evenly for rehearing, I want it to say reverse somewhere. We want this case reversed. Look, here's what we want to say. We want to say that there are times when the government can make a message and they're not mandated to put up a counter message. And that is, if a government wants to promote a civil rights monument, they don't have to put up up the Ku Klux Klan monument. If they want to say the national motto is "In God We Trust," we don't have to say it's "In Satan We Trust." If they're going to put up the Ten Commandments because of its involvement in Western civilization, what it meant to the community, you don't have to put up the seven aphorisms or some other religious groups. This is not the private speaker here. It's the government as a speaker. And when the government's a speaker, of course they get to convey a message. Now, here's what we're going to do, folks. We've got a very special offer for you. We want you to get this brief. We'll let you know how you get a Ten Commandments pin that's been commissioned for this case. We want you to also understand what's at stake, so you're going to get updates when you join this special committee on the Supreme Court. But call now to get this brief. It's the actual bound copy, 877-989-2255. Everybody needs to be calling for this. Very, very important. 877-989-2255 for your copy of the bound brief or ACLJ.org.